We're so blessed that you're joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're on. Okay, that's all right. We are talking about the birth of Christ and the different characters in our story and how God works so amazingly through all of his, the Bible and the Word. We are Matthew 1, 18 through 28, Luke 2, 1 through 21. And after somebody reads the passage, we're going to talk about why is this passage so important.
Sandy, it was one of those moments, I'm serious, I thought I was going to start snorting. I had to laugh so hard.
Well, you got to know the whole story. They've been playing with the mics, making funny, funny noises, and then I said, are you ready? And everybody's going, yep, and I started
to talk. It just happens. And so I think Adam and I were going to pop a bottle laughing so hard.
We'll call it their giggle for the day.
Okay, we're glad you're back. And we've been going through the birth of Christ. And I started off this particular show two shows ago reminding us that when we read Scripture, especially familiar Scripture, we need to read it and asking God to make it new do. And there is a verse, and at the moment I can't recall what it is, but it is fresh and new every morning. Dew reappears every single day. And so we need to make sure that's how we approach Scripture. And if you are ever in a season of dullness or a season of wilderness or a season of weariness and you just can't, then ask God, please make it like new dew. Make it like new dew. Allow me to know the freshness of your word penetrating deep within my heart and even the marrow of my bones.
That's good.
Okay, so Adam's going to read for us our two passages today. Let's see if I can read them correctly. Matthew 1, 18 through 25 and Luke 2, 1 through 21.
All right, this is Matthew 1, 18 through 25 first. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you so much, and may God honor the reading of his word. It's so beautiful. I love the word of God. All right, so we have been looking through the cultural context. We've looked at things that we struggle with, oddities, and how we need to answer that. And now, oh, we still have Luke.
We're all looking at like...
Okay, so maybe I should just pause and let us finish reading Luke. Sorry, Adam.
You're fine.
How many people...
This is going to be a funny program. I've said I was going to introduce the kids, and I haven't done it except for one. Sorry. Grant, Christina, and Adam are here with us again. Yay.
Hi.
Hello.
We can do this. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, this is Luke 2... 1 through 21. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Thank you, Adam. Now, may God honor the reading of both passages. I want us to recognize 700 years before this occurred, this was prophesied. Isaiah 7:14 tells us that. Christina, would you mind flipping really quick to Isaiah 7:14 and we can read that? And while she's doing that, I want you to hear Bethlehem in general was a place that Scripture has different important trips happen. Ruth and Naomi made an important trip to Bethlehem late in the season of barley harvest. And Samuel the prophet, when Saul was rejected as king, Samuel was sent there to find the next king, and that's where he found David, the son of Jesse. And so that's kind of a fun thing that we have. So we're going to have Isaiah 7:14.
Okay. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Oh, so good. So good. Emmanuel. And that goes back to what in the first show Grant had shared about the name Jesus. And Emmanuel means God with us, and Jesus means that he saves. And so here we have the birth of Christ. And what we're going to do is I want us to answer the question, why is this story so important? Why is it? Why do we make such a big deal about it? And culturally, we tell the story every year, over and over. Why is this so important?
I think the most important thing about this story to me is that if we only had the story of Jesus, we wouldn't see how he was brought up and like everything he had to deal with, and how he was so humbled to be born in a manger and for the shepherds to come see him. And I think it just puts a lot more perspective on the story of Jesus rather than only seeing the part where he died for us, which is amazing and spectacular in itself, but then just also lopping this other story of how he was born onto it, just it brings me to awe whenever I think about it.
It does, doesn't it?
I think
it?
You're right. It comes as humble, you know, a humble servant. They expected a mighty king. So it's just opposite of what they expected.
Right. And knowing that they were looking to a political king at the time as the person giving peace, that really helps us to get the mindset. What about, I had told us a couple of shows ago that I would reference this, but I want you to hear this. There are a couple of things we need to understand. When it says that, one, Jesus came to save his people. Scripture does not say he came to save God's people. Why do you think that is made clear to us? If it said God's people, who would we think that would apply to?
Israelites.
Correct. But because Jesus came for all people, that's why Scripture uses that. And so I think, one, that is pretty cool. Then the next thing is that the actual work of Jesus, he meets us in our sin, and he saves us from our sin. And so what we have to remember is that it's first being saved from that penalty, the discipline we should have for it. He saves us from the power of it, the power that sin has where it can It can beat us down and destroy us. And he saves us actually from the presence of sin. So as we allow our belief that God sent Jesus as a babe to lie in that manger for our sin, what we find is that the penalty for sin has been dealt with through him. It's not what we have or do, but him. The power of sin is slayed, but he also slays the presence of sin. We don't have to remain a slave to that sin. And so he came to save his people, and these are the three things that he did for us. And that's just kind of, whoa. And so do you remember how I had read the pagan writer's quote and how he said that the political leader can maybe provide the political peace, but he cannot provide the heart peace?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Christ gave, is he gave the heart of what was needed for them to have the peace of the heart. And so that just, oh, so beautiful. Okay, so what we were going to do, we have another question for us. Therefore, with what I just said, who do we need this story to be told to?
Yeah. All.
Yeah. Now, let's make it more specifically, and I don't want to, I'm not going to say this out loud. You guys can think it rhetorically. Who in your life needs to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
I know I have a speaking engagement this weekend, and I will be speaking to a group of women. It's a small group, a little less than 20, but I know for a fact there will be ladies in the room that will be attending that do not know the Lord. And the few that will be attending that do, they're all brand new and understanding. We should always be thinking about who.
Mm-hmm.
Who do I have in my life? I once heard a quote from Billy Graham. We were watching the documentary after he passed, and they said that Billy Graham was just absolutely devastated after one of his crusades, I think it was before the crusades happening. It was a speaking engagement. He was devastated because he felt nothing happened, and he asked his advisors why, and he said, "You didn't give the gospel." And he goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "In all of your others, you share the cross." Mm-hmm. And that Jesus died for our sins and that he saves us, you didn't say that. And mm-hmm. Billy Graham determined as a young man on that day when that was said to him that he would never speak before a man or a group of people without declaring what Jesus did on the mm-hmm. cross.
And he did that.
I know, mm-hmm. I know. And you think of what God did then. Yeah. That was just before, like that was back when he was still in like little tents.
Mm.
And then, boom, God said, "Okay, I can use that."
and
he did. And so that's beautiful. So the next question that we use all the time to ask when we are reading a passage of Scripture is, what does this reveal to us about God? So right now, everything that you can think of from this Bible passage of Matthew 1, 18 through 25, and Luke 2, 1 through 21, what can you learn about the character of God, the behavior of God, and what God does as you are thinking? And, you know, and it's okay, just share whatever is on your mind.
I always think, you know, we always worry so much about what's going on even right now in our life that, boy, we forget who's in control. God, not us.
Right.
We've got to give it to him.
Exactly.
And, like, he makes that abundantly clear by, like, showing that he doesn't even, like, the things that we think make sense and think we should follow and, like, oh, everything should go this way because this is what makes the most sense.
Yeah.
It's like he set up this entire story to be like, I'm going to do everything that you guys would think would be the absolute worst thing to do.
Yep.
And show...
We'll just see if you like it.
Yeah, and show how I can still like make it like the best thing, better than anything you can think of. Because it's like, okay, you know, you've got like Mary, just this super random young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And
possibly 12 is what they anticipate.
And like in this marriage that because of the timing of like the virgin birth is now putting into question... like both of them and their reputation and their character and what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the fact that like Jesus was born in a manger.
Mm-hmm.
And like and all of that stuff, and just like the situation, everyone was expecting this mighty king, and like he's like the humble servant, and then he appears before the shepherds, which are like the, like, you know, like if something exciting happens, like you like want to tell people, and generally you're going to want to tell like the most important people to know. So God was like, I'm going to tell who you view the least important people. They right. get to know first.
That is and, how he works.
Yeah, and then like just everything. And you know, the person that everyone thought was like the savior at the time, like Caesar Augustus, you know, like a lot of things that Jesus did were like not like in direct opposition against it, but were like contradicting it and what people thought. And so just like literally everything was just like, this is like, you guys built up this plan for yourselves, so I'm just going to go do the exact opposite of that to show that like I'm still in control of everything.
Yeah, God directs our paths. We don't, he does. You know. It's always tell my granddaughter when she gets disappointed, I said, well, God's got a better plan for you.
Yeah.
You know, just wait.
Right. It's not the best, yes. Mm-hmm. I love what you said, Grant, but it makes me think of a lot of times when things are going hard, I struggle, and I think culturally, I think we struggle. We think, oh, well, this obviously isn't God.
Mm-hmm.
But based on what we see here in this passage, it was 100% God at work,
mm-hmm.
in order to orchestrate his plan and his purposes. And so we have to be willing to say, okay, God, what can I learn? What mm-hmm. can I, how can I give you glory? How can I make your name known? Mm-hmm. It's good. Okay, what else do you guys learn about God?
One of the things that I think about is how, like, all of Mary and Joseph's lives before, God was like preparing them for this job that he was giving them. And I wish I could like see that and see the things that maybe like the pain that they went through and maybe things that they thought were insignificant and were just part of their life that like had a deeper purpose that the Lord was preparing them for this job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right. Because he uses everything, including a lot of surgeries on our feet.
Then you can look back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't always see it in the moment, but boy, you can look back and think, oh, that's right. Why we did that.
Yeah. Okay, Adam, did you have anything in particular you learned? We have about 30 seconds.
Super short. This doesn't necessarily pertain to the verses exclusively, but I watched this documentary about the stars and how God aligned all these stars on the birth of Jesus Christ in ways that are just super duper amazing. I'll wrap it up kind of quick, but like there was so much that he did to plan for the birth of Jesus Christ that finding out all these things is just amazing, and how he orchestrated everything.
Mm.
Oh, and it's astounding, and we can tie into that in a minute. God bless.